Tonight's sort of an update night. The elders are going to be talking to you about a few different subjects, and I'm kicking things off. Can we put the screen up, Mike? I want to point out on this little thing in the back, we have the budget. Just a quick update on the financial. We're about $25 a week below budget to this point through the year, but we're pretty close. Also on the bottom, I've added two little things there. One says GL and one says ONL. GL is Golden Living. That's the nursing home where we're now streaming our video services, and some of our people are going there. So that means this morning we had 25 people worshiping at Golden Living Nursing Home, some of those being our members, some being others. Larry, I think, is going to talk a little bit more about that. The online is how many people are watching streaming, and that number can vary anywhere from a few up to 9 or 10 at a time. So you have to add all three numbers to get the total number of people participating in our worship services. I want to start out by talking just a little bit about the house that we have next door, which is the house at 346 Regent Street. And could I get some techie to come and clear this little window off the screen, which is really bugging me since I'm AC or OCD about that. Can somebody take a look at the screen? Do we have a techie here? No, it's there for a reason. I want to be able to see. If we don't have a techie, then that's okay. In 2008, we bought the house next door. Most of you are aware of that. Some of you are new. Thank you, Tracy. And don't know much about that. But we go ahead and go to the next screen, Mike. At the time we bought that house, we did it primarily for parking. We were really suffering a parking shortage. We still are. But that was a combination house and office building, a large house, 5,700 square feet. And we combined the two parking lots, which really helped relieve the parking situation that we have. When we bought that house, we combined our existing building improvement loan with the purchase price of the house. We bought the house for $437,000. When we combined the loans, that's $620,000 we bought on a 20-year note at a little under 6%. Our required monthly payment is $4,458 on that. And we're making that payment, and then occasionally as we have extra money, we are paying down a little bit of extra on that. Not as fast as we would like to, but we're doing some. If you go to the next slide, you can see a little bit the status of that loan as we've gone a few years now. We're presently a little under $500,000, $496,525 on that loan. So we've paid it down about $125,000. We still have a long way to go. We've looked at the potential of refinancing, but on a commercial loan, even though we have a pretty good rate now and the rates are very low on residential, we were not able to find a good plan or someone who would loan us at even less. So last year we made extra payments around $10,000. We had hoped to do more than that this year. I don't know we're going to do it because we have invested some money in a few other things that we hadn't really planned at the beginning of the year, like improvements in the foyer and some other things. We would like to talk to you about where we'd like to see us go with this loan. So next slide, Mike. If we maintain the minimum payment on that loan, we'll pay that loan off in about 14 more years from where we are now. If we increase the payment from $4,500, let's say, to $5,500 per month, then that goes down from 14 years to 10. If we take that up to $6,500 per month, then that goes from 10 years to 8. I think that's a realistic goal. To do much more than that, you know, really is a stretch goal. But I think it's possible with a little bit of diligence that we can get that loan paid off in 7 to 8 years. And even though I believe we made the right decision investing that money, and it is a lot of money, I can't wait until we're done. We have this loan paid off because there's so much exciting stuff we can't wait to do with the money that we're putting into that right now. If you think about what we could be doing in mission work and other areas. Go to the next slide, Mike. We are renting the house now for $1,950 per month, which is a very attractive rate on a 5,700-square-foot house. but we price it to rent. We don't want the house to be sitting empty. The people that are in there now will likely be moving out between now and the end of the year. And so we have to be prepared for that if we have a little bit of money that we don't have that rental income coming in. But you see, the rental income is only a fraction of the payment on the house. We're just using the rental income to help and help us do a better job of paying that house down as we can. And as long as we're renting it and it's being used as a residence, we have to pay real estate taxes. And it takes about 4 months of rent just to pay the real estate tax. So if we reach the point we start using that house for our church purposes, then we don't have to pay the real estate tax anymore, which means the $2,000 a month that we're bringing in rent, we can sort of forget about 4 months of that and say we're only really losing about 8 months. And once we get our debts paid down, that will be a very doable option. Go to the next slide, Mike, the last one. So our plan is basically to pay the minimum payment and as we can to make extra payments on that house. And we are encouraging you, if you have a chance and you have some extra money that you'd like to give to the church, maybe you receive some windfall or you just have something you'd like to do, we do have some people who give toward debt reduction. And any money that's earmarked toward debt reduction, we apply to the principal of the loan. If we could get this loan paid off even faster than 7 or 8 years, we would love to do that. But I think 7 or 8 years is probably where we're looking at unless we receive some additional funds that start coming in to paying towards debt reduction. So we will try to make extra payments as we can, but at the same time, we don't want to be really handcuffed that we can't do something extra or something special if we feel the need to do that. And so we're sort of watching that and managing it as we go. And really the next 2 or 3 years will be critical. If we pay money now, that pays dividends and interest that we don't have to pay. So that's sort of the status of where we're at with the budget and with the house next door. When we're done, we'll hopefully have a little time for Q&A. But since we have four of us speaking and I'm doing two things, I want to go through that pretty quickly. Okay, Mike, let's cue up the second presentation. And this is something I'm really looking forward to talking about. And we're going to be talking about something called God's love story. So, God's love story. What is God's love story? So go to the next slide, Mike. Basically, God's love story is a book. And it contains selected and compiled portions of the scripture along with some written transitional statements. It's sort of a condensed version of the Bible. It's designed to be very readable. It's in chronological order. We remove the verse and text markings so it reads more like a book. But this is something that someone can pick up and read and really understand God's story from beginning to end, and something that's going to make it very easy for them to do that. It's not something that's intended to replace the Bible. It's like a preview of a movie. If you see the preview, it makes you want to go watch the movie. Or maybe it's like a little condensed version of a book that you read to help you understand the book when you're taking a test on that subject. So this is something to introduce people to the Bible, to have them have the chance to really go through the Bible and understand it. So go to the next slide, Mike. So we have information in there from most of the books of the Bible, and we've compiled this into 39 chapters. So if you go through this as a congregation, 39 chapters would be about three-quarters of the year. So it's designed with that in mind. We use the World English Bible, which is a copyright-free version of the Bible. You can't just go use the NIV or the King James. Those are copyrighted materials. You have to find a copyright-free version, and we have that in the World English Bible. Go to the next slide. So the end result is a book that contains between a fourth and one-third of the Bible. So if you've ever known people that tried to read through the Bible and couldn't, statistics say only about 30% of the people, even in churches of Christ, and historically were a very biblically-based group, only about 30% of the people in the pew have read through the entire Bible. And if you go outside of this building in the community, it's more like 10%. Well, why is that? A lot of people want to read through the Bible, but what happens? They read Genesis, they read Exodus, then they really get bogged down in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the details. If you look at the Bible, 1 and 2 Chronicles is almost exact duplicate of 1 and 2 Kings with a few paragraphs that are different. People don't understand that. The Bible's not in chronological order. It can be confusing to the first-time reader. It can be confusing to someone who's been around the Bible for a long time. So this is a tool that is going to be made available for people to influence the life of readers. So next slide, Mike. So I went through the statistics there, but it's a spiritual strengthening tool. It's something that can be used with two things in mind. One, someone can read this book and really help them understand the Bible better. And number two, it's going to be a very good outreach tool to go out to, in the community, to our family members, to our friends, and say, hey, we're going to go through the Bible in an easily to understand way. Will you come and be a part of that? We'll give you a free book. You can come and take place in our Bible classes, in our sermons. Everything will be structured around that. So probably next year, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but probably in the third quarter, we will start going through this. So Mike, outreach tool, great tool to give to friends. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is, why do we want to publish that? It's also going to be something that's very good to be used in missions. Nehemiah Gudam, who a lot of us know from India, can't wait to translate this book into Telugu. And we actually have a Bible translation group in Texas that's agreed to give us an electronic version of the Bible in Telugu for Eastern India. I hope that that's the first of many translations. The Gudams give thousands of Bibles away every year, but they're giving them to people in India that have an elementary school reading level. And we get bogged down in the Bible with the reading level that we have here. So he's a firm believer that this is going to be a great outreach tool for him to use in India. If you go to the next, this is hot off the press. This is what the cover of the book is going to look like. So thanks to Sam Deitch for doing the cover of the book for me. We have some very talented people in this congregation, and also Seth Deitch. You'll see some of his work in just a second. Go to the next slide. The book has a total of 39 chapters, and you can see it's not Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, maybe you can't see that. It's pretty small. But the first chapter is just called The Beginning. That's from the beginning of the earth up to the flood. The second is called The Seed of a Nation. That's mainly about Abraham. The third chapter is Dreams and Deliverance, the story of Joseph. And so we march through the entire Bible in 39 chapters. Go to the next slide. At the end of the book, there's something called a Bible reference map. And if you look at that Bible reference map, it will show you how we pieced each chapter together. Every chapter and verse of the Bible, what order we put it. So you see, chapter 25 is birth of a Savior. That's the first chapter that's geared around the New Testament. Anywhere you see the word transition, that's a paragraph or a few paragraphs that we wrote to set the stage. And then you see we go from John to Luke to Matthew to Luke, back to Matthew, and then back to Luke. So we went through the Bible and pieced together what we thought would be a very understandable version of the birth of Jesus. And each of the Gospels is a little bit different. And so we had to take certain sections, say, do we like the part in Mark? Do we like the part in Luke? And we're stitching this whole story together. Go to the next slide. We're going to be doing something called Church Campaigns. And the book will be available online, but we will also sell books in bulk to congregations that want to go through this as a campaign. They want to buy 50, 100, 200 books at a time. We're also going to have something called campaign kits. We'll be doing some advertising in Christian publications like Gospel Advocate, Christian Chronicle. Go to the next slide, Mike. The campaign kit will contain things like graphics for posters, banners, postcards, door hangers, things that can be customized by each church and printed out as part of a campaign, and we'll show you a few examples of that. It'll contain PowerPoint slides. It'll contain an implementation plan, how to roll this out in your congregation. After we go through it as a congregation, we'll probably add Doug's sermons. If we have Bible class materials, we'll build on this over time. Next slide. So each chapter is going to have a poster. Seth Deitch has designed the posters. He and I worked together to pick out the images. But for each chapter, we tried to pick a very basic image that keys your mind to think about something to do with the chapter. So you see for chapter 1, you have an apple. Okay, I know all you Bible purists are going to say it just says fruit. It doesn't say apple. Okay, I cede that point to you. But you see the little bites like a heart, which ties into the cover of the book. So when you look at that poster, whether you're a child or an older person, you think about Adam and Eve. You look at the second poster, you see a seed. You think about Abraham being the seed of a nation. Next slide. A couple more. Chapter 3, dreams and deliverance. You see a scene out of Egypt with the pyramids. Chapter 4 is more about the coming out of Egypt. So we'll have these images. And I think when we go through this as a congregation, what we'll do each week, we will add a poster and we'll go back the wall of the auditorium. And then when you come in, you'll be able to look at each poster and you'll build in your mind this sort of timeline of the Bible from beginning to end. Next slide. So we're going to have postcards, Microsoft Publisher. Most people have that. They can put their own church name in there. They can modify these and have them printed. Next slide, we'll have flyers. Next slide, we have door hangers that you can go and put on somebody's doorknob if you're going to canvas a neighborhood and invite people. And basically these say, hey, here's a chance to really understand the Bible. Come go through it with us together. We'll give you a free copy of the book. We'd love to have you join us. Next slide. There will be a website called getgodslovestory.com. Unfortunately, somebody beat us by a few months to godslovestory.com. There's a movie coming out by that name, I guess some religious video. But the website is not yet live, but it's ready to go live when we're ready with the book. Go to the next slide. On the website, you'll have a store. You can buy books in bulk. Go to the next slide. We've created a nonprofit organization called God's Love Story Ministries. All the money from the book sales, the royalties, are going to go back into the ministry. Nobody's making any money from this other than reimbursing some people for the upfront costs that have been put into this. But the books are digitally printed, so we don't have a lot of cost to go in up front. But it will be tax-free. We can accept donations. We can accept your United Way contribution and so on. And those monies will be used to give books away for free to translate into other languages. Next slide. So I've been the editor of the book. I want to thank Ed Dyke and Jennifer Mars, who've been very good about helping me with the proofreading. Seth and Sam, we already mentioned on the graphics. We do have a board of directors for God's Love Story Ministries, and initially that's the rest of the elders. That could change over time. Next slide. We'll be publishing the book soon. We're very close to releasing that to go to print. We'll probably do what's called a stock size, a standard 6x9-inch book, and then I want to do a large print version as well. E-books will be available for you Kindle and Nook users. And my arm has even been twisted by Grant to do an audio book. And I've started on that. And Grant, if you had any idea how hard that is and how much work is involved, minimum 2 hours per chapter. So I'm on chapter 6, but I'm getting there. All right. Next slide. So we are going to be going through this as a congregation, probably starting in the fall. And this will require an implementation team. This is going to be a huge deal. There are similar things to this that are out in the marketplace. We looked at one, and we were actually going to do one called The Story by Zondervan. But several people from the congregation were very diligent about pointing out some issues with that biblically and scripturally. So it was decided not to use that. But they have found when they go through this, a typical congregation can grow as much as 20% when they go through this in a year. And so we're really looking forward to this being a great outreach tool. It's going to combine Bible classes, sermons, maybe Bible studies. Next slide. immediate needs. I would like to have someone who would take this book and write it at an age level like upper elementary or lower middle school. I think that would be a great addition to this. If there's someone who really has an interest in that, let me know. We will need volunteers for an implementation team and for our campaign and a lot of word-of-mouth publicity. So this is coming next year. The book will be coming this year, and we're very excited about it, and I hope you are too. All right, Tim.
All right. Thank you, Brian. And just to follow up with what he said, we are very excited about this. I think it's a wonderful thing that's come about, an interesting chain of events, and it'll be a wonderful tool. We look back 30 years ago at somebody who decided to do a ministry called Bible Bowl, and it's been one of the great things this congregation has done and continues to do here, and I'm so thankful somebody started it. And I think this book and this ministry will be something we look back on in 30 years, and we'll be glad this congregation started it. It'll be great. All of these things, we talked about paying down the house, and Brian talked about paying down the house and God's love story, is our trying to meet the goals that we have set for ourselves in seeking the lost, equipping the saved, and bringing all into the glory of Christ, as we've said. And a lot of this is about how do we reach the lost and grow the church and prepare the church to grow. So along with these things, we've talked about planting a church. That's something that's been talked about for a long time. I remember Dad and Paul were interested in this idea too. It's a good way to grow. It's a natural solution to our limited parking. It's been successful in many places, including here in the past. For those of you who don't know, there was a Route 230 church that was started through an effort here at Camp Hill many years ago. And then the East Shore congregation began with a group going off with some assistance from us. Now, if we plant a church, it's going to take a lot of planning. It's going to take commitment and sacrifice on our part as a congregation. It's going to take time. It's going to take personnel. We're going to lose some people in order to start a ministry. It's kind of where the rubber meets the roads. I'd love us all to stay together because we've got a great congregation. But I don't know if that's what God wants us to do if we're going to grow to the church. So some people would have to make the commitment to go and plant a church. It's going to take logistics. It's going to take finances. That's why we're looking at things like how soon can we pay down the house. Another item we're looking at as far as growth here at Camp Hill, as has been talked about before, we are close to our limits with parking. We're actually, it's really great to see some Sundays, but we're close to our limits in the auditorium also. But our biggest problem has been parking, and the acquiring the house and making the parking lot bigger has helped, but that's still an issue if we're going to grow more. So two services is one option we've looked at. That allows growth beyond the building and parking limits. It's been discussed for some time also and has its pros and cons, but it's been successful in many places. And it's also a good precursor to planting a congregation. Other churches have grown by going to two services and then planted a congregation somewhere and a group gone off. It would require some changes and create some challenges. We would have to rearrange things like how we do our classes. There might be changes to Sunday evening. The timing of our morning services obviously would change. And there'd be difficulties in scheduling teachers and men who serve. We are blessed with a congregation with a lot of people who participate in our services. Well, that would, to some degree, possibly double. So there's a lot of things to think about. We at the eldership are trying to consider all reasonable ideas and are trying to think outside the box in order to best serve God and achieve our purpose of growing. A lot of things we could do with this. We could have one congregation that has two services, or we could use that second congregation as a planned plant. Some people meet at a different time with the purpose of someday meeting separately in a new location years down the road. We're interested in any ideas or suggestions and will involve the congregation in the process, including a committee when the process begins. There are other options to grow the congregation without two services. One unique idea is to use our Golden Living Nursing Home ministry as a possible place for a group to meet. And with that, I'll turn it over to Larry, who will talk more about that.
Notice I have a little piece of paper. That means I'm not going to talk very long. That was supposed to be fun, but I guess it wasn't. I want to explain a little bit about what happened this morning. Several of us went over, actually five of us were over at Golden Living this morning. First time I was over there for a worship time with them. I know some others have gone over prior to us. And I think the number 25, there's probably about 25 residents. It was kind of hard. I had counted 21 at one time, but they kind of kept on rolling in. So there could have been 20, 24, 25, and there were five of us. Despite some technical difficulties that we had, I think it was a very encouraging time for the residents, at least some of the comments that they had made. And I think it's an opportunity for us to reach out to a group of people that are somewhat, you know, just hindered by being able to get out, to be able to have some social interaction, obviously to have some spiritual interaction. So it's an opportunity for us to not only share God's message, but also his love for them as well. And I think sometimes, as we've mentioned before, if you're in a home situation, a nursing home situation, sometimes it's almost like it's a lost community where maybe they don't get a lot of visits, maybe they don't get a lot of attention, and they really are eager for the attention that you give them. I look at the benefits, though, to us to do something like having a worship service over there with them. It is a local mission work. It is an opportunity for us to do mission work, and a lot of times we think about mission work as, well, you have to go overseas. And you have to go to India, you have to go to Africa, and that's great, and there's a need there. But there's a need for us in our own backyard. And this is literally in our own backyard, only maybe a mile or two up the road. It's an opportunity for each of us, a service opportunity, to kind of, you know, press yourself a little bit. We had problems with the audio, and despite the fact that Doug was over in the morning, I think what happens is some of the equipment is used by the activities that are going on there. And we couldn't get any audio. So what we ended up doing is I ended up leading some songs, and Richard, who had came over, he was our rent-a-tech this morning, came over and he couldn't fix it. So he ended up doing a little bit of a lesson. And there's some interesting personalities. If any of you have been there, you've met Pat. She had a lot of conversation, which was pretty interesting at times. But they really appreciated it. And it gives us an opportunity to be, you know, whenever it says you're supposed to be ready in season, well, you know, it gives you an opportunity to kind of test your mettle a little bit and say, okay, now I got to, you know, I'm put on the spot. I need to do something outside my comfort level. But it's a service opportunity for all of us to be there. And they're so encouraged, especially for the kids, the youth. I know classes are important, but if you could, well, worship is important for you to be here, but if you could go over there, I think that would really encourage them. You get a certain amount of satisfaction from the residents, because we had several of them say, oh, you're coming back. We really appreciate this. One particular person said, you know, in the hour that I was sitting here, I feel like I got an hour's worth of good Christian fellowship. And yeah, it just makes you feel kind of good. They really do appreciate it. One of the benefits of going and being involved with the work over in Golden Living is it's almost like a church plant. It can actually alleviate some of the concerns that we have here for parking and even seating if we can get people to go over there and participate in that. Might be an alternative, or at least postpone the idea of going to two services, depending on how. We had plenty of room there this morning, and we could grow, we could double it easily in size. And I think as word gets around within the nursing home there, I think more and more people will come because they really did seem to enjoy it. They even enjoyed the songs that we sang, and so it was a very rewarding time, I think, to all of us. I just leave you with a couple of suggestions or recommendations. Number one, that you consider getting involved as much as you can in Golden Living. And I know a number of you make visits through the week, and that's great. But try to get, I mean, they look forward to it. It was funny, I have to tell you a story. We had the TV in the back, and the picture was condensed, and Doug was up there, and Pat, of course. She goes, "Well, there's a little Doug right up there, you know." And yes, we know there's a little Doug there, but we can't hear Doug, you know. And she had other things. And Doug, if you're ever worried about people saying your sermons are too long, she gave Richard, "You've got 5 minutes left until we're wheeling out for lunch, you know." And then she counted down to 2.5 minutes. "You have 2.5 minutes. You're down to 2.5, you know. And it's all you could do to keep from kind of laughing in a way, But afterwards, despite the fact that they were lining up to go into the dining room, a lot of them were there just talking and saying how much they appreciated us being there. So my second recommendation is, in addition to weekly visits, if you can make those, if you can get involved and spend some time, I know we love being here with one another and the conversations and the fellowship that we have here, but if you can join the group that goes over there periodically, I think you'll really be encouraged, and I know it encourages them. So thank you.
So in the few minutes that we have left, we also wanted to do questions, which we'll try and do that. We're always available for that. But what I want to talk to you about, we had a conversation in our meeting, and it was on mechanics a little bit about our worship service. Bill Critlow does a great job of scheduling people to do the worship services, and we were just looking at a way to sort of do things a little bit more expediently. We talked about the initial conversation was we're talking about maybe adding some guys in the back to during the Lord's Supper to be with, you know, some guys down front and sort of help that along a little bit. Not that it was taking too long or not, but it spawned a conversation about our worship services. Are we spending enough time in our singing? Do we want to sing more? Is Doug preaching not long enough, too long? What do you feel might could be improved on in our worship services? Is it just right? Are there areas that we could look at? Everybody's going to have an opinion on that. Some of us might like to sing more, hear Doug less, and there are some of us that would want to hear Doug more. As an example, I'm not picking on Doug, but so there's just going to be a lot of different. Some of us want to pray more. You know, Tim loves to pray, and he loves to do prayer service. And so, you know, his outlook would be let's pray more. And certainly, none of those, all of those are great. But what we want to do is try and strike a balance. And maybe we're doing okay. Maybe we're trying to fix something that's not broke. But we want to hear from you if you have any ideas along that line. And again, we can really chase different things down. I know there's a lot of different viewpoints, types of songs that we sing. People love to hear the traditional type songs. Some people like to hear the little bit more camp songs, if you want to say that. So, you know, we try and strike a balance between those, and maybe that's the answer. But so just in not only looking at what we do, but how we do it in our worship services. Obviously, if we do some of the things that we just talked about, if we go to two services, or if we have services someplace else, you know, those are factors that are going to affect that as well. So We have about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, so I want to open it up for questions on anything that we've covered, that the guys have covered tonight. If you have a suggestion on the worship service, please feel free to make that as well. And we'll take questions if you have any. I'm certainly not going to be the one that will answer all of them, but are there any questions? Thanks, Russell.
That's why we chose them. Yeah, we didn't want to take some fancy nursing home where the legal in this game.
There's others that are bad, too. That's not the worst. Yeah.
Good opportunities for future endeavors. Anybody else? Grace. Well, there's been a lot of talk around a lot of different things. I don't think anything has been decided for sure. No, Tim, do you have?
We discussed the idea of being closer to using it, putting a group together and looking at it. It could be used for a number of ministries. We could move some offices over there, we could expand fellowship here, we could have a youth center. And there's lots of different things that we could use the facilities for. I don't know if you've been inside it, but it's more than just a house. It's got a lot of space and a lot of rooms. So maybe we can get closer to doing that when we talk about some of the things we could do. Maybe have a youth.
Yeah. We haven't come to any definite conclusions yet. If you have some ideas, let us know. Anybody else? Fanny. Okay. Fennell was talking about just the sound when you're Ustreaming with your computer. Sometimes your computer speakers are not enough to project. So when I know when I go with Joe Gildow, as I have for the past month or so, I have a separate powered system, a speaker system that does really well, because I'm doing my iPad, and the iPad doesn't have a lot of push. So she has some speakers that she's willing to loan out if you're in that situation and are going to be streaming with somebody. You might want to think about that. Doug just recently bought some Bluetooth speakers that hook up if your computer is Bluetooth enabled. That seemed to work pretty well too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we're really trying to put an emphasis here when we're speaking to use a mic. Either be conscious of getting close to the floor mic if you're using it, or use one of these over-the-ear mics so that we can have a good pickup. Anybody else? I'm trying to sit here and look at you until... Yeah. Yeah, I think that our mechanics, I personally think the mechanics of it is good. It's something typical that, you know, I've experienced as I've grown up in the church. Some things can be tweaked. It's not so much what you do. I mean, it is a little bit pattern form and function. We can get into discussion about that, but you know, are our services meaningful? You know, are we doing worship in a way that helps you worship, that brings you into the presence of God? That's always been my focus. You know, picking out the songs and just coordinating things like that. And so, again, just a lot of discussion can be had on that, but appreciate the input. Tim?
Along that line, I just want to mention, we discussed, if you're here very long, you've noticed that we don't finish every week at 11:29. We usually finish somewhere around 11:45. And that we discussed that. We don't want to watch a clock. We're here to worship God and encourage one another. We've talked about that. So we're not going to try to make things rigidly 1 hour.
And that's fine here, but like you know, at Golden Living, 11:30 will around half an hour on the way out to the club.
That is a problem. If you go to two services that will last. So that's something you have to think about for the future. I was just saying what you're telling your visitors that well, we have services till 12:00. It's an hour and a half service and we get you out early.
Yeah. So you know, we try and strike a balance. We don't want to pin ourselves in, nor do we want to go over long as well. So you know, there's a balance to be struck there. Let me do that.
Darren, what time is it?
It is 6:34.
Okay, that was my last question.
All right, very good. Well, I think, thanks, guys, for letting us do this. And we said that we would do this once a quarter. We haven't been good about doing that, but we want to get back into doing that ever so often. As you know, hopefully, we're always available for you guys. If you ever have any questions about anything that's going on or any decisions that are being made, you know, please approach one of us and do that. I think Dave has a song of encouragement. As always, when we get together, we want to give you an opportunity to let your need be known if you have one, to come forward and to let us pray with you if that's needed, or for somebody here that hasn't obeyed the gospel and you're at that point. We certainly welcome the opportunity to talk with you. If you have either of those needs, please come as we stand and sing.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. This in God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Please be seated for the announcements here.